Before we jump into today's episode, I want to know, are you feeling constantly tired, stressed, or stuck in survival mode, even though you're doing all the right things? My best-selling book, Optimal You, Supercharge Your Energy, Strengthen Your Immunity, was written for people just like you. It's a guide for those of us living in the modern chaotic world who want to optimize your health, prevent burnout, and take back control of your energy and well-being. I'm so proud to share that Optimal You is an Amazon number one bestseller and has been shortlisted at the Business Book Awards in the wellness and well-being category, recognized for its science-backed, practical, and truly holistic approach to long-term health. Inside the book, I share the exact framework I use in clinic, from the 8 core pillars of health to the 4 essential lifestyle S's. Whether you're struggling with niggling symptoms, feeling low in energy, getting sick more often, struggling with autoimmunity, or you simply want to feel like yourself again, this book will meet you where you are. Available now in hardback, paperback, and on Kindle, just search Optimal You by Nicole Good on Amazon or visit optimalyoubook.com for all the links. Because your health shouldn't be on hold and the optimal version of you is waiting.
Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, a certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritionist, and author. In this podcast, we delve into the world of energy and immune health and wellness with positivity, from optimal health and energy to stress and burnout, right through to immune conditions such as thyroid and autoimmune disease. We deep dive into functional medicine, nutritional medicine, and lifestyle medicine, as well as the personal stories of our amazing guests, from Olympians to famous faces and guest experts from all different parts of the health and wellness world. It's time to stop letting your health hold you back and become the optimal version of you. Don't forget to come and join the conversation on Instagram at good_health, that's G-O-O-D-E, or visit the website nicolegoodhealth.com to find out more.
Welcome back to the Good Health Podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, registered nutritional therapist, and advocate for root cause healing that actually works for real life. Today's episode is one I know many of you have been waiting for. If you've been told that your thyroid is fine, your labs are normal, but your brain feels anything but, then this is the episode for you. You're forgetting words mid-sentence, you're struggling to focus, maybe snapping at people for no reason, or walking into rooms and forgetting why you're there. You know something's off, and you're right, because when it comes to Hashimoto's, it's not just about the thyroid, it's about your brain. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition, and autoimmunity doesn't stop at the thyroid. It's a full-body immune-driven process that often hits the brain first, with brain fog, mood changes, anxiety, memory problems, and even emotional flatness or detachment. So in today's episode, we're taking a deep dive into what I call the Hashimoto's brain. We'll unpack how thyroid hormones affect your cognitive function and mood. We'll explore the concept of neuroinflammation, what it means when the immune system crosses the blood-brain barrier, and why that can make you feel foggy, anxious, or disconnected, even if your TSH looks perfect on paper. We'll also talk about the brain's special vulnerabilities in women, especially around hormonal transitions like postpartum or perimenopause. And finally, I'll walk you through the testing tools and clinical approaches that I use in clinic to help women to reclaim mental clarity, emotional balance, and confidence in your own mind again. This one's going to be science-rich and practical, so grab a cup of tea, pop in your headphones, and let's get into it. Let's start with something foundational but often overlooked: the intimate connection between your thyroid and your brain. Most people associate the thyroid with metabolism, so energy, weight, maybe even periods or temperature sensitivity. But what's less commonly understood is that thyroid hormones, especially T3, are absolutely essential for brain health. T3 is like a master regulator in the brain, so it influences neurotransmitter production. Think of your serotonin, your dopamine, your GABA, the chemicals that govern your mood, your motivation, and your calm. It also supports mitochondrial function, giving brain cells the energy that they need to fire efficiently. And it helps with synaptic plasticity, so how your brain learns, remembers, and adapts. And this isn't just theory. We have clear evidence that T3 plays a direct role in the hippocampus. That's the part of the brain that is responsible for memory, and also the amygdala, which governs fear, anxiety, and your emotional processing. So when T3 is even slightly low or is not being converted properly from T4, the brain is often the first place to notice. And this brings me to a critical distinction that we need to make: systemic hyperthyroidism versus brain hyperthyroidism. So you could have normal thyroid levels on a standard blood test, a TSH within normal range, maybe even a decent free T4. But if T3 isn't reaching your brain cells in adequate amounts, or if inflammation is blocking your cells from responding properly and taking that T3 up, you might still be feeling mentally exhausted, foggy, low, and emotionally reactive. So this is central hyperthyroidism or functional brain hyperthyroidism. And it's far more common than people realize. And here's where it gets even more nuanced, because the female brain is particularly sensitive to thyroid shifts. There's a deep interplay between estrogen, progesterone, and thyroid hormones, especially during those transitional phases of life, those times like postpartum and perimenopause, and even the luteal phase of your monthly cycle. So if you've had a baby and never quite felt like your brain came back online, or if you're in your 40s, you feel like your mind is getting a bit foggier, maybe a bit less resilient, or more emotionally volatile, or if your PMS is increasingly intense with anxiety or tearfulness out of proportion to what's happening, you're not imagining it. In women, the thyroid-brain connection is incredibly delicate and incredibly important. And remember, Hashimoto's often begins years before it's picked up on blood tests. So that brain fog and anxiety might actually be your earliest clue, long before a GP will spot a change in your TSH on your blood work. While your blood work might say you're fine, your brain symptoms are data and they deserve attention. Now, this is where things get really interesting and also where conventional medicine often misses the mark. We've talked about how T3 is essential for brain function, but in Hashimoto's, the issue isn't just about low thyroid hormone levels, it's about immune dysregulation. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune condition, so that means that your immune system, the very thing that's designed to protect you, has become confused. It started to produce antibodies that are attacking your thyroid tissue. It's mistaking it for a threat. But here's what we don't talk about enough. Autoimmunity doesn't stay confined to one organ, even in an organ-specific disease. Once your immune system is dysregulated, it can also start reacting to other tissues as well, especially those that look molecularly similar to the thyroid. This is called molecular mimicry, and it's one of the key mechanisms driving cross-reactivity in autoimmunity. In the case of Hashimoto's, research shows that thyroid antibodies, particularly the anti-TPO antibodies, can cross-react with tissues in the cerebellum. That's the part of the brain that governs balance, coordination, and some aspects of cognition. They can also react with myelin basic protein, which is essential for nerve conduction and brain communication. So this means that the immune system isn't just attacking the thyroid, it's potentially attacking parts of the brain. And that can contribute to the symptoms like dizziness, poor balance, word finding issues, or even emotional dysregulation. And it doesn't require full-blown hyperthyroidism for this to happen. Studies have shown that people with euthyroid Hashimoto's, meaning that their thyroid hormone levels are technically normal, can still experience significant cognitive decline, depression, and anxiety, purely just because of the presence of these antibodies. And remember, the antibodies show up a long time before the thyroid function markers on your bloods will go out. So let's just say that again. You can have completely normal thyroid labs, but if your immune system is producing thyroid antibodies, you may still be experiencing debilitating brain symptoms. So this is a neurological condition as much as it's an endocrine one. And this brings us to a key concept that I want you to remember, and that is neuroinflammation. Neuroinflammation is when the immune system triggers inflammation inside the brain. And this can happen when systemic inflammation gets past the blood-brain barrier, which we'll talk about in a moment, or when the brain's own immune cells, which are called the microglia, become overactivated. In a healthy brain, microglia act like the cleanup crew. They're removing debris, toxins, and damaged cells. But in the presence of chronic immune activation, like in Hashimoto's, these microglia can become hyperactive. So they release inflammatory cytokines like interleukin-6, TNF-alpha, and interleukin-1-beta, which can interfere with that neurotransmitter balance. It can reduce synaptic plasticity and even damage neurons over time. And when the brain is inflamed, it doesn't hurt the way that your joints will or your muscles might. Instead, it manifests as brain fog, as memory issues, as mood swings, anxiety, depression, emotional disconnection, and sometimes sensory changes. So things like sound sensitivity or visual disturbances. And this is why a lot of people with Hashimoto's will often say, I feel like I'm not quite myself anymore. It's not imagined and it's not just stress. It could be neuroinflammation. And unless we address the immune system, not just the thyroid, and we look at the brain, we're missing a huge piece of the puzzle. I'm so excited to share that Optimal You has been shortlisted as a finalist at the Business Book Awards. And to celebrate, the Kindle edition is just 99p from now until I will be at the award ceremony on the 10th of September. If you've been meaning to dive into the book, now's the perfect time. Head to Amazon, search Optimal You by Nicole Good, or hit the link below this episode and grab your copy while this special offer lasts. Let's make optimal health more accessible and celebrate this moment together. So let's talk about one of the most important and often ignored players in Hashimoto's brain symptoms. That's the blood-brain barrier. Think of the blood-brain barrier as the brain's security system. It's a tightly regulated layer of cells that surround your brain and spinal cord, deciding what gets in and what stays out. Its job is to protect your brain from toxins, from infections, and from inflammatory signals circulating in the rest of your body. But just like the gut lining, the blood-brain barrier can become leaky. And this is a big deal, because once that protective barrier is compromised, inflammatory molecules from your bloodstream, things like cytokines, bacterial toxins, and even antibodies, can cross into the brain and trigger something called microglial activation. So what causes the blood-brain barrier to become leaky? A few of the major culprits, and there's more than this, but these are the main ones, are things like systemic inflammation, which is very common in autoimmunity. Also gut permeability, so intestinal permeability, leaky gut, where inflammatory byproducts like LPS can escape into circulation. Chronic stress can also do it. This increases that cortisol and lowers tight junction proteins that hold the barrier together. Blood sugar instability can also cause this. And that's something that a lot of people have. And of course, exposure to things like toxins, heavy metals, mold, and even certain infections. In Hashimoto's, we often see that low-grade chronic systemic inflammation that over time disrupts the integrity of the blood-brain barrier. And once the barrier is compromised, your brain's immune cells, the microglia, go into defense mode. So now when the microglia are briefly activated, for example, during a cold or infection, they help to clean up that mess and then they settle down. But in chronic conditions like Hashimoto's, they can get stuck in this hypervigilant state. And that's what leads to the neuroinflammation, this ongoing low-grade fire in the brain that doesn't hurt in the traditional sense of the word, but makes you feel off. So you may be experiencing brain fog, that trouble concentrating, poor short-term memory, anxiety. All of these things are a sign that you need to be looking at your brain health and your immune health, as well as your thyroid. We now have research showing that in people with Hashimoto's, there is increased activity of pro-inflammatory cytokines in the brain. So including this interleukin-6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and interleukin-1 beta. These cytokines are messengers of inflammation. When they enter the brain, they affect the neurotransmitter balance, like reducing serotonin and dopamine. So they're impairing memory formation, and they even reduce mitochondrial energy output in the brain cells. There's even imaging research using functional MRIs and PET scans that show altered brain metabolism and reduced cerebral blood flow in people with autoimmune thyroiditis, even when TSH and T4 are normal. So again, what we're dealing with here is not just a thyroid issue. It's an immune-driven assault on the brain's clarity, chemistry, and emotional stability. And the longer this goes unaddressed, the more it can affect quality of life, even before there is clinical hyperthyroidism. So what can you do if you're experiencing these symptoms? Let's bring this down from the science now into what this actually feels like day to day. Because if you have Hashimoto's, diagnosed or undiagnosed, and you're dealing with brain-related symptoms, you're definitely not alone. And I want to name some of the most common experiences I hear from patients in clinic, because often just having these symptoms validated is incredibly powerful. So let's start with brain fog. Now, this is a very vague term, and clinically brain fog refers to slowed thinking or processing speed, maybe difficulty finding the words that you want. So knowing what you want to say, but struggling to find that right word, maybe trouble concentrating or sustaining attention, or feeling like your thoughts are wrapped in cotton wool. Maybe even difficulty following along with conversations or remembering what you've just read. One patient said to me, it feels like they're living in a low resolution version of the world. Another patient said to me that they just feel fuzzier or dimmer. Lots of patients describe it to me as feeling slower. Some people have described it to me as walking through a cloud. So there's lots of different ways that you might explain this, you might experience this, but it all comes down to that brain fog. Then we've got that mood dysregulation. So again, often overlooked or brushed off as stress or hormones. But with Hashimoto's, people may experience things like anxiety, especially that buzzing, restless type that hits in a morning or around your period. And then we get irritability. So sometimes snapping at small things, struggling with patience, low mood or flatness. That's another one. So not always that classic depression, but just that sense of emotional bluntness. And then sometimes we see tearfulness or emotional oversensitivity. And that's especially when we've got estrogen that is fluctuating, especially around times like perimenopause or postpartum. It's incredibly common for women to just say, I don't feel like myself anymore, or I'm not depressed, but I've lost my spark. And these symptoms aren't a character flaw. They're a reflection of what's happening biochemically and immunologically inside your brain. We also see sleep disruption, which makes all of this worse. You might fall asleep fine, but wake up at 3 a.m. with racing thoughts. Or you might feel wired at night, even if you're exhausted, but you just can't get to sleep. These kind of circadian rhythm disturbances can worsen brain fog, impair that memory consolidation, and increase inflammation. And then finally, that memory piece. So you might notice that you're forgetting names or appointments. You walk into a room and forget why you're there. You're reading a page and realize that nothing actually went in and you need to reread it. Or you're struggling to learn new things or recall words quickly. This isn't aging. This isn't you being scatterbrained. It's a neurological symptom. And it's often reversible when the underlying inflammation is addressed. The key point that I want you to take from this is, if you're experiencing these symptoms, and especially if you're being dismissed because your TSH is normal, your brain is giving you early warning signs. It's your job and mine to listen to it. Now that we've covered the why, let's look at the how, as in how do we begin to address what's really going on beneath the surface? First things first, standard thyroid panels aren't enough. We've had this discussion on the podcast many times before. If you've only had a TSH test, you're missing the full picture. As an absolute minimum thyroid workup, you should be getting your TSH, your free T3, your free T4, thyroid antibodies, especially anti-TPO and antithyroglobulin, and maybe also reverse T3. But then we need to widen the lens and assess what's driving that immune activation and neuroinflammation. So that might be looking at inflammatory markers like CRP, homocysteine, and sometimes specialized cytokine panels. These can give us a snapshot of that systemic inflammation that may be crossing into the brain. We've then got nutrient status, so especially things like vitamin B12, magnesium, zinc, omega-3 fatty acids. They all play a really critical role in brain function and neurotransmitter health. We might also want to look at your cortisol levels. So we can do that through saliva testing or dried urine testing. And we look to see how that chronic stress may be affecting immune regulation and the blood-brain barrier. Then we've got gut health markers, so things like zonulin for intestinal permeability, or stool testing for dysbiosis for candida, or for LPS-producing bacteria that increase that systemic inflammation. And then we've got organic acid testing. So this is one of my favorite tools for assessing functional levels of neurotransmitter precursors, mitochondrial activity, oxidative stress, and detoxification. But something really important to understand is that you can have normal lab results and still feel terrible. Why? Because autoimmune symptoms often show up before the lab markers do. The immune system can be brewing in the background for years before it crosses the diagnostic threshold. And that's why I always say the clinical picture matters more than the paper trail. If your symptoms point to brain-based inflammation or early Hashimoto's, I trust that, and we act accordingly. The goal is to intervene early, not wait until things are visibly broken. So what can we actually do about all of this? The good news is we can absolutely support the brain in Hashimoto's by taking a functional medicine approach. We can address the inflammation, we can restore nutrient status, we can regulate the immune system, and we can rebalance the nervous system. So let's have a look at some of the core tools that I use in clinic. One, anti-inflammatory nutrition. So first and foremost, food as information. An anti-inflammatory diet is one of the most powerful ways to calm both systemic and neuroinflammation. Focus on things like wild oily fish, and omega-3s for that brain membrane support. Polyphenol-rich herbs and spices like turmeric, rosemary, and oregano. Cruciferous vegetables for that detoxification and hormone balance. And slow carbs like sweet potato and quinoa to help to steady that blood sugar. And of course, removing those inflammatory triggers, gluten especially in autoimmunity, but things like processed sugars, seed oils, and excess alcohol. That alone can help to reduce brain fog and stabilize mood in a matter of weeks in some people. Then we've got to look at neuroprotective nutrients. So certain nutrients have a direct impact on the brain, especially when inflammation or stress is present. So some of my go-tos might be magnesium, and we have special forms of magnesium that can cross the blood-brain barrier and support that synaptic plasticity. Then we have phosphatidylserine, which is really helpful for that cortisol regulation and cognitive function. We have B-complex vitamins, especially things like B12, B6, and folate, which are essential for that methylation and neurotransmitter synthesis. Of course, the omega-3s, EPA and DHA, these are really foundational for that brain structure and for reducing inflammation. And vitamin D as well, it's not just for immunity, but it's also for modulating that brain inflammation. It's really important with supplements that you personalize them, but these are just some of the common ones that we use with Hashimoto's patients. But always speak to a practitioner before you start using supplementation. Then we've got that gut-brain support. We can't talk about the brain without addressing the gut. Roughly 70% of your immune system lives in the gut lining. And if that lining is inflamed or permeable, your brain is going to feel it. So we might use things like probiotics, we might use things like glutamine or zinc or aloe vera for healing in that intestinal permeability. We might be looking at prebiotic fibers for microbiome diversity or digestive support if absorption is poor. And of course, addressing any of those stealth pathogens that are in there, any candida or any dysbiosis. And with proper testing and targeted protocols, we can really do a lot of work in this area. Then we have nervous system regulation. So one of the most overlooked pieces is the autonomic nervous system, the part of you that is constantly responding to stress, to trauma, and to inflammation. And chronic stress directly disrupts the blood-brain barrier and impairs that T3 delivery to the brain tissue. So we need daily inputs to calm the system, things like breath work, especially longer exhales or box breathing. I like 3-4-5 breathing. So breathing in for a count of 3, hold for 4, out for 5. Then we have vagus nerve stimulation. So think of things like humming or cold water splashed on your face, nature exposure as well, and gentle movement. So restorative Pilates or walking outside. And then digital hygiene. So setting boundaries around those screen times and overstimulation. It's not just about relaxing. It's about rewiring the nervous system to support healing. And of course, we've got to look at the sleep and the circadian rhythm. Sleep is the brain's detox system. During deep sleep, your glymphatic system clears out waste and inflammatory byproducts. So we need to support that with consistent sleep-wake times, maybe using blue light blockers in the evening, shutting down those computers earlier on and those phones, things like magnesium and calming adaptogens, darkness as well in the bedroom. So even a little light can affect melatonin. So making sure that you're creating the right environment to sleep in. And this isn't a one-size-fits-all plan, but these are some core pillars that constantly move the needle for my patients. So by addressing inflammation, nourishing the brain, healing the gut, and regulating the nervous system, we give your brain a chance to reclaim that clarity, that mood, and that function, even in the context of autoimmunity. So if you're struggling with brain fog, low mood, anxiety, forgetfulness, any of these things that we've talked about, and you've been told that your thyroid is fine or your labs are fine, I want you to hear this really clearly. Your symptoms are real. They are biological. They're not imaginary. And they're often your brain's earliest warning sign that something deeper is happening. Hashimoto's is not just about slow metabolism or weight gain. It's an immune-driven condition that affects the brain just as much as the thyroid gland, sometimes more. We've explored how those thyroid hormones like T3 are crucial for memory, mood, and brain energy, how immune dysfunction and inflammation can disrupt that blood-brain barrier, and how even with normal labs, you can have neuroinflammation quietly impacting your quality of life. But the beautiful thing about the brain, and this is one of my favorite things when I was studying neuroscience, is how adaptable the brain is. With the right inputs, anti-inflammatory nutrition, key nutrients, nervous system regulation, gut healing, the brain can bounce back. Memory can improve, clarity can return, emotional balance can be restored. And if you've been dismissed or misdiagnosed or told to just manage stress, I see you and you deserve more. If today's episode resonated with you, I would love for you to share it with someone who needs to hear it. Leave a review because it helps more people find this kind of information. And also check out our free guides, which we'll link in the show notes below. And of course, if you're ready for a personalized root cause approach to healing your thyroid and reclaiming your brain, you can learn more in my book, Optimal You, which we'll link below this episode. You can grab a copy now or through working with me in the Good Health Clinic. Your brain is not broken. It's just inflamed, and inflammation can be healed. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit, and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app, or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe, and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.